Unfortunately.
Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. Just going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Hi, and welcome to Optimize My Life. And it's been one of them days. And we talk about uplifting. We talk about the problem, we focus on solutions to life. Hi guys, how are you?
I'm Mary.
Hello.
So, before we introduce our guest for today is Ash Wednesday. And the whole point of Ash Wednesday is to look back at yourself and do the self-reflection and things that you haven't quite done that you could do better in life. And so today is all about looking at mistakes and not looking at them as a bad thing, looking at them as a way to grow and learn. And when you're looking at yourself and the mistakes you make in life, it's all about owning your story and who you are. Because you can't have that great self-awareness and that great self-esteem and that great ambition in life to keep going if you don't accept who you are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And most people in this day and age is all about the good, and only portraying the good out there. But we all have the bad side. We all have the ugly side.
Hey,
and
Mary.
Yes, sir.
Let me interrupt you real fast. I didn't confirm with you till the last minute, but I did invite one of our unsung heroes here in my community on today. Do you see a 513 number on your board?
Yes, sir. Which is part of the reason we put into the whole thing about changes. Because when you introduce your friend, he does work and own a gym, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So he deals with a lot of people that on a regular basis on how they want to see themselves differently than what they are. And the only way you can do that is owning who you are first.
Yes, yes, yes. So, Mary, without further ado, let me just tell you guys a little bit about who I call my unsung hero. You know, I own 7 of my own businesses, and I met people all around the world. But when we start talking about people that are movers and the shakers, a lot of times the movers and the shakers are the people that you don't never see moving and shaking. So as I started to help and assist my sons in businesses, I was checking into the gym, and all of a sudden, I go, oh, my God, there's a man babysitting the baby. And then I found that that man that was babysitting the baby was the fitness trainer. And then I started making jokes because me and him didn't really hit it off real good at first. Because I would come into the gym saying that I thought my sons are the owners and I can do anything I want in the gym. So I might move the push broom and not put it back to where I got it from. And then one day I was cleaning up and I moved some other stuff that didn't belong to me and put it in a nice stack. And then this rhino guy ran head on with me and said, well, look, sir, out of all due respect, you know, we got order up in here. I serve a divine creator who loves order, and so do I. Didn't even know his name. don't even know his last name now. All I know is if I had a chance to choose one of my unsung heroes, with me being an Afro-American male, he's the first man that I've seen in 20 years that takes a baby to work with him. Not only does he take his baby to work with him, he's resculpting and changing people's lives every single day. And most of them are lives that are kind of out of shape, might have a little extra weight around the loop right there. Whatever the mental problem is, whatever the setback is. And then the last one before I turn the mic over, Mary, I said, I don't even have to see him. When I open up the door, if I walk up to the gym door and there's no fingerprints on the window, the floor mat has been swept off. There's a big trash can up near the front, so we have a lot of beverages and smoothies and stuff, so we keep trash cans ready available. If there's no trash in the trash can, and if I walk into the gym and see cartoons or baby movies on the monitor, I know Zach's in the house. So, Zach, if you got there, man, I didn't mean to just drag you all through the mud, even though we live down here in the dirty, dirty South. If I had to say I had to take my hat off with respect, much love, high five, and all that kind of good old stuff that goes on with it, I'm going to ask you guys to say hello to Zach, because I asked him at the last minute. I called him about 10 minutes ago. Zach, can you be on the show today? Tell people a little bit about who you are, what you do, you awesome father, you awesome husband, you awesome take care of my family kind of guy. And the last one, Zach, just so you know, so you can go in any direction that you want to go in, one of the first things that we tell people that we do is we assist people in all the major pillars in their life. Pillar number one being faith. Got to be able to boost somebody and talk to them on a spiritual level or you'll never, ever reach them. Right next to faith is what we call family. Man must be a family man because he loves order and he loves taking care of his kids and he takes care of his household and he takes care of everything around him and everything has a place in order. Then when it comes to that, we talk about Mondays, Zach. We usually talk about health being your first wealth, and that's why I had to kind of pull you in. Health being your first wealth. We talk about water, energy, nutrition. But if you have energy, you got to have energy to run to somewhere. We talk about attainable, affordable housing for everybody, first responders, and veterans. And then we move into arts and entertainment. Everything doesn't work for everybody. Everybody has a different mindset, a different skill set. So we have a category called arts and entertainment. And then we don't, last but not least, down on the bottom of the totem pole, we're talking about education. Church, religion, starts with faith, ends with faith. So without further ado, Zach, if you'd be so kind, sir, come on over and open up your mic and tell little people about who you are and what you do and exactly how you are definitely a better world changer, sir. Mic over to you, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing? Or good afternoon, I should say. How y'all doing, everybody? Yeah, hear me?
We can hear you. You're doing great.
Okay, good. Nice to speak with y'all. Like Mr. Dorsey said, I do work here at this at the gym. It's called Members Elite Atlanta. We just opened up. Me and his sons partnered up and decided to open a gym down here in the west end of Atlanta. It's been pretty cool. It's been a learning experience. I've been a trainer pretty much for the past maybe 5 or 6 years after I stopped playing football. I went up to the University of Toledo. And I walked on up there. So I kind of just been used to working hard and being in the fitness space for a while now. So it's just, I guess, like a step up now to run another gym and to be able to help people daily. So, I mean, I feel good being in a gentrified neighborhood and being a black-owned business first off. And then, you know, I do have my son. I have a 7-month-old. His name's Cameron. That's my first kid. So he was like my 30th birthday gift. I tell everybody that. People ask about, you know, how I feel being a dad at this age. So life is kind of slowing down for me. So that's really, you know, how I've been able to help everybody else, kind of just learning to be patient, be understanding, and not necessarily be the loudest person in the room all the time, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was listening to you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. Way we run this is just a conversation, but, you know, like, you know, your 30-year-old birthday present was your son. My retirement from the Army was my daughter. So being older and starting over, that's just, it's a lot.
Yeah, but in a good way too. I always been kind of just active in like the party space and nightlife, being a bodyguard and kind of having a opposite schedule of a person who works at 9 to 5. So it's mainly just transitioning from serving a different crowd that's all party to now focusing on people who want to improve themselves, who have different health goals to meet, as well as working with kids. I've pretty much been a magnet for kids now since I have my son with me here every day. We have a lot of people who come and join us who don't necessarily have the time or space to take a minute to, you know, improve their own self-care just because they don't have a babysitter. So it's cool to see people, you know, and their kids bonding and, you know, being able to get families closer together here.
But, Zach, help me out a little bit more, because I spent well over 40-something years working with children, and Mary has 2 special gifted children. But it's so unique and so rare, not just here in Georgia, but every place, and I've lived in 14 different cities, that you just don't see men raising their children. We've been MIA for so long, but a man to be able to have the audacity to take their child to work with them and keep them right near all day long while you're training 20, 30 women. How does a father do that, Zach? I know I've seen women do it, push the stroller, carry the kids, shop, talk on the phone and multitask. But what can you offer us fathers that's never done it and never seen nobody else do it?
Well, I mean, you know, it's not necessarily, I don't know. Let me just be honest. My mom was a single parent. She raised 4 kids by herself. I never had a consistent male role model or a father figure, and I couldn't imagine my son going through that, knowing that, like, I have an opportunity basically to just do the right thing between me and his mom, and by raising him, it was just kind of a repeat of what I did, because I know I stayed under my mom a lot. I kind of was a mama's boy. I can't say that in a good way, but my mom taught me a lot about business. She taught me a lot about being organized. She always made me go and socialize and talk with people. I spent a lot of time as a kid waking up early on Saturdays, going to go sell candy bars. I worked at a car wash when I was like 7 or 8 years old. I just did a lot of odd jobs, and it was all because my mom pushed me to do that. So I know that my son being around me, watching me interact with people and learning from me too will benefit him in some way, whether he gets handed a business of his own or he decides to go the entrepreneur route. It's just like I would rather have a consistent relationship with him from the start. And I know what I missed out on from not having that, so I wouldn't do that to him, if that makes sense.
Mary, I sent you that video the other night. It said it was Alana Von Zant, "How Does One Get Stuck?" Zach, knowing what America's done, and we just kind of neglected good eating habits and all those kind of things, Mary is one of those people that really knows how to motivate somebody. They call it self-motivation. But when Zach, I'm not talking nobody, I'm not pointing nobody out, but I've seen some of the people, I was going to say women, that you train, that bodies not be right where they want it. How do you start out with somebody that's been on several, this is what I wanted to say, that that's been on several different types of diets, for lack of better words, that didn't work, and now here it is 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years later, and here this person that's been through failure on all these different diets and stuff, and now they end up in your gym with you. How do you take that, Zach, and what do you do differently than the diet people do?
Well, I actually will sit down with a person and do a consultation, and what I notice off the bat is that people don't eat enough. They don't eat enough, and they don't eat the right thing. So really it's just getting a person to get out of their head what they have been reading and taking in as far as this false information. I remind people all the time that they have so much power in their hands, just even from your cell phone, by being able to just look up how many calories are in what they're eating, keeping a journal or having an understanding of what you like and what your body feels after you eat certain things. I just broke down yesterday to a client how many bowls of cereal they would need to eat if they continue to just eat cereal all day. So the first thing I have to do is call a person out for their bad habits and making them realize that they're not taking care of themselves, that they're not eating right, because that's where it starts. Working out in the gym and lifting weights is maybe 10 to 15% of having a good, healthy lifestyle overall. It's mainly about what you eat. So I always have to challenge my clients first on what they're doing wrong and then show them pretty much how they can teach themselves the right things to eat based off, you know, their body type and how their body reacts to everything. Because that's really the key to it, is understanding what you like, but also understanding your portion size, portion control, and just not being greedy. You know, when you do actually decide to make a lifestyle changes, you'll get certain cravings, you'll get certain urges to eat bad, but you got to ignore that stuff. So it's just building confidence in the person, really, to make them believe they can make the right decision.
So your exercise is not just what weights is what I'm hearing now. There's a mental exercise that starts right up front, Zach.
Yeah, you got to be disciplined, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to want snacks. You're going to want different things. Your body, as humans, we naturally crave salt, sugar, caffeine, you know, you name it, anything that's addictive. You're going to want it. But it's understanding that you can only have that so many times a week, let alone a day, or maybe even in the month. You know, it's just getting your cravings and your impulses as far as food go under control. Because if you can control that, it'll start to branch off into other spaces. I've seen that. A lot of people who start working out, all of a sudden they get a better job, they get a promotion or do something different. Like, their whole entire life changes once they actually start believing in what they're capable of. So that's fun to see people.
See, and I love how you said that, because the misconception is, you know, is that when you go into these mindsets, and this is why diets fail, is that you have to live without these foods. So you crave it more because you know you can't have it. But like you said, and we talked about this on the Monday morning show, it's all about nutrition and family, is that you can have it in moderation. You can have a cookie or a piece of cake. You just can't eat the whole thing all the time.
Can't eat the cake and the
That's
ice
very
cream
well said, Mary.
But
hey,
true,
that was
though.
My sergeant that's
do that all day.
Explained it that way. She goes, you can eat the cookie. You can eat the cake. You just can't eat the whole batch of cookies or the whole cake. You know, moderation. It's a treat. So my
exactly.
question to
Mary,
you.
Mary, we have like a child.
Mary, no. When you said that, I had a flashback real quickly. A commercial that said, I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
Exactly.
But then one more, I'm going to be rude. Then Zach, ImpoCap says, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we all may die. What do you have to say that? Because what you're eating, they used to tell us when we was growing up, OG, you are what you eat. If I said something like that to you, Zach, what would you say back to me? Zach, you are what you eat. And you just had a hamburger.
I can honestly give you a long little story. I think to sum that up, I would definitely agree. I am pretty much working my way to being plant-based as of right now. The best results that I ever did get and experience was having a pescatarian diet, not eating any red meat, chicken, turkey, or anything like that. And I'm not saying that any one diet is better than the other. I do believe that you can be healthy and live a good lifestyle based off your fortune. But I know that it was a night and day difference for me, especially trying to build my endurance and things like that up once I actually channel in on eating more green vegetables, eating less meat, eating less oil, less processed stuff. I don't eat anything fried at all. I can agree with that. You are what you eat, depending on, you know, your mood, your energy levels, and maybe even if you challenge yourself to switch up your diet, not necessarily diet. I don't like the word dieting because it makes people think you got to eliminate stuff. But if you switch up your diet and eat more greens, eat more vegetables, you honestly will see a difference even in the way that you think and feel. It's just a truth to it. So I do agree with you are what you eat.
On our show, we say lifestyle change and meal plan adjustments.
instead of saying diet. Try to put a positive spin on the word.
Negative thought with diets. Yeah, it feels, I've noticed people's faces change and they kind of cringe up when they hear the word diet. It's not a good association necessarily to what the word actually means, because your diet is what you eat. Like, that's literally the term of your diet. So no matter what your diet is, you are, your diet is what you eat. It's not some made up trendy thing that you got to deny yourself a certain food or anything like that.
And that's, you know, so true. Now, so a question for you. So what would you recommend to people, especially like retired military that used to work out all the time, that once they lost that support group and they're not forced to do it, they lose that motivation to do it? They just kind of get lazy?
Yeah.
Good question,
the thing about that is you have to face whatever mentally made you stop working out. I know for me, after a while, when I first stopped playing football, I didn't necessarily care to lift or care to do anything, really, because I was just mad at myself about what I had to go through to not be in that space anymore, if that makes sense. So some people may have left the military for different reasons, injuries, whatever it is. There's a mental burnout that happens there where you have to kind of build yourself back up to go back into that space again and be successful. So I think the main thing is to just take baby steps. Maybe go for a walk. Maybe find some little at-home routine where you're comfortable and go from there. Anybody that even attempts to work out 9 times out of 10 is going to be able to do more at some point as long as you're consistent. I always tell my clients that. It's like, yeah, you may only be able to do 10 leg raises now, but if you do 10 leg raises a day every week, at some point your volume is going to go up way higher than what you're doing now because you're just sitting around. So the main thing is just to get up and do something, even if you just go for a walk somewhere.
Zach, I'm glad you pointed that out, because I've had a lot of different trainers, read a lot of different books, but one of the only things that I've ever found to really, really be true, there's no such thing as failure, but the only thing that has never, ever, ever failed is consistency and persistency. And when you said just do something, it's hard to tell somebody that hadn't worked out in a while, get up tomorrow morning and run 10 miles. But if Zach says get up tomorrow and walk around the house 2 times a day and 3 times tomorrow and 5 times on Friday, then that moderation, my mama always told me that the key to longevity, the long life, healthiness, and all that kind of good old stuff is moderation. Just like you said earlier, Mary, you can have cake, just don't eat the whole thing. So, again, back over you, Zach, man. We're loving the information. And then, again, how does you as a fitness/coach/spiritual coach/trainer, I know you told me that you sit down and talk to somebody, but conversation is good, but how do you know if they're actually, how does one know if they're actually keeping the commitment to themselves?
Well, but mainly, I'll be able to call them out just off of their body language. I'm big on nonverbal communication, and it's easy to read somebody and tell if they've eaten today or even in the past few days based off how hard they can go in a workout. I'm real meticulous about making people stretch first, making people warm up, just to see how they're moving for the day and just to see what their energy and mood is like. And I'll be able to go from there as far as setting a tone for the workout and just our conversation for the day. I ask a lot of questions, and I'm big on just talking to people the entire time we work out, not to joke around or feed into whatever's bothering them or anything like that, but more so just to keep their mind in a certain space and place while they're working out. That usually helps if I'm having somebody who's not necessarily eating right or still isn't in the mood to work out or has a bunch of stuff going on. I know some of my clients go through different issues and circumstances at home anyway to make them decide to say, like, you know, this is it, I'm actually going to take care of myself. So part of it too is just making sure that if there is something bothering them, that by the time they leave the gym, that their mind is off of and they're ready to take care of themselves once they leave, you know.
Wow, you're getting them out of their own head and getting them out of their own way to help.
Yeah, because a lot of people are afraid to be selfish in certain aspects, and it's like, if you're going to take care of yourself, take care of yourself all the way in every phase of what you're doing. So don't just come in here and lift weights if you're going to go home and still be negative and not getting anything done. I don't want the only thing you did good today be to be just working out with me. Like, I want you to go ahead and go have a good day, go do something else once you leave here. You know, like, let the workout be the start of your day in a good way. I don't care if it's 11 o'clock at night. If you come in here and work out with me before you go to bed, do what you got to do before you go to sleep and wake up with a better mindset and be ready to kill tomorrow. You know,
mm-hmm.
I always try to share for people.
No, you talk about, you know, meals and eating enough and stuff like that. Do you recommend eating little meals and a few of them a day, or do you recommend eating?
You're supposed to eat 6 times a day.
Well,
so
you
see,
man,
what
is that?
Whether
that people don't eat enough. I didn't know that.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, most people don't consume over 1,000 or 2 calories a day, if anything, and most of it is probably saturated fats and stuff that you can't really hold on to once you, you know, get to working out or have a physical lifestyle. That's why most people are lethargic, tired after a certain amount of time, can't really get out of bed, have different muscle aches and things like that. So yeah,
I got one for you, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they always told us that breakfast is the most important meal of the day? Is that really true?
Yes, I'll say that. But as adults, breakfast may not be the ideal time that everyone else eats breakfast. I know a lot of people think, I'm running late, or I didn't wake up in time. Let me just go ahead and start my day. But you actually do need to consume something as soon as you wake up. Same with drinking some water. I'm big on that. I know I drink a glass of water within the first maybe 10 to 15 minutes when I wake up. It just gets your organs going and gets your body flowing. So, yes, your first meal of the day is important because it also sets your time clock. I tell my clients to eat every 2.5 hours after their first meal until they've eaten 6 times.
Let me throw a curveball in that one, Zach. If I interviewed 10 people, 100 people today and ask them what they eat, most people don't understand that their body runs off of minerals. But if I ask them what they had, somebody had coffee and a donut. Some people had coffee and a breakfast. Some people really did good and had eggs, a grits, or waffles or toast, carbs, white flour, sugar, caffeine. They did good and had some orange juice. It has vitamin C in it, but it has no proteins in it. And then around noontime, since we're supposed to be eating healthy, when we was in corporate America, we had to run to the sandwich shop and get one little slice of lettuce and a slice of tomato, which is only like 1% of the 100% of the minerals that you need today in that one little slice of lettuce. And then we rush home, and if we happen to have family and children and didn't get a chance to cook dinner, we're going to grab some McDonald's or some fast food to go home, and there was no greens and color things that have color in them at your dinner. So now I start to see what part of the problem is, because I'm a country kind of boy, and we had 3 or 4 or 5 different types of vegetables every night and some beets on the side. I'm a red meat kind of eating guy, but I only have it once or twice a month. So, Zach, that what are you eating in the portion? Tell me a little bit again about Mary asked, portions, you said about 6 times a day, and then here's the last one that's a compound question. People that don't go regularly, you eat 3 meals a day and you only go 1 time a day, or you eat 3 meals a day and in between 6 snacks, but you only went 2 times a day. What happens to our digestive tract, Jack, when we're not getting minerals and we're not working out and we're not going on a regular basis?
Honestly, I always tell my clients that you know that your metabolism is firing off the way that it should when you go to the bathroom every time you eat. You should have a bowel movement with every meal. 9 times out of 10, if you're not doing that, then you're usually either dehydrated or, like you say, you're not taking in enough calories or minerals throughout the day to kind of make your body function the way that it should. The best and quickest way I always tell people to fix that is from hydrating and starting to consume more greens, more hard fibers, even if they end up having to supplement it through like a probiotic or some type of yogurt. But you got to get something inside of you that makes you use the bathroom. As far as portion sizes go, there's always like a portion chart. It shows you how to measure your food based off the size of your hand. That's the easiest reference that I always point out to my clients so that they know, you know, what they're supposed to get and consume from a meal standpoint. Because like you said, you eat a bunch of variety in your food. So regardless of you having red meat, I still heard you mention some fruits and some vegetables that you have pretty much on the daily with every meal. I can live with that from a person versus them telling me that they eat fries and hamburgers and chicken wings and whatever else. There are people I know who literally that's what their diet consists of day in and day out, and they don't see a problem with it. So it's just, if you make that decision to eat better and live better, then it's something that you'll stick with versus it just being a trend.
Now, question for you, for kids. You know, this is a big debate. I deal with it a lot because I get a lot of slack because of my kids. But so I believe, personally, to teach children how to eat healthy, you have to give them the opportunities and allow them to have the crap foods once in a while and have it available for them to want it, have the goods and the bads, and teach them what it is in order to for them to be able to make the right choices later on in life instead of restricting their diets to only whatever you're eating.
Man, it's a catch-22 with that just because of kids kind of are susceptible to different things in marketing, and they are going to want to eat snacks and things just off the fact of the product being presentable to them from that level. But to understand that if your kid gets a certain amount of cravings for candy, that's no different than them getting older and wanting a pack of cigarettes or anything like that. I will say impulsive behavior does start early. So if you can limit what your kid eats or gets them, or can get them to learn early that they don't have to give in to their impulses of wanting candy and sweet stuff, I kind of can't say that that's not a bad thing, but I do understand kids are going to want candy. I mean, they're around it 24/7. I wouldn't restrict them, limit them, but I would rather – I'll go ahead.
This is, are you saying, like, candy is, like, more of a – like a starter drug, like marijuana is, the hard stuff?
Exactly. We learned very on early. Oh, I just want a blunt real quick. Let me go ahead and get it. That's no different than us saying, oh, I want some candy. I want some Skittles. I want something. Impulsive behavior starts early. We can feed into it, or we can learn to moderate it and control it early on.
But if you teach them at a young age that it's okay to have it, that it's there, but this is better, eat this first, they're more apt to eat it that way.
Exactly, and we
as,
live in an age where there are healthy snacks. I mean, I literally see non-gluten, non-GMO candy that tastes just as good as regular candy these days.
Oh, yeah, it does.
So
well,
I will add that
to
the, I will add that to the conversation.
You know, for instance, you tell her she gets a treat at the grocery store, she'll buy out the produce aisle.
Yeah, I mean, you can get them to learn to love the sugar that's in fruits too as well. I would rather pitch alternatives than to feed into a kid on snacks all the time. Because they're kids. I mean, of course, they're going to ask what they're going to want. You're going to feel like you're giving them a treat or rewarding them, but what's learned behavior anyway? What our parents feed into and what our parents give us. So we kind of do owe our kids that much to at least pitch their mind and get them to reverse how they're thinking in relation to candy and fruit.
Right.
Because they're both sugar. They're both sugar. So it's just a way to get kids to think about it, because we challenge them to challenge them early to think about stuff.
Hi, yeah. Overton. You snuck in here this pretty quiet today.
I think I heard Oakman earlier, too. Oakman, are you on? Do you have questions, Oakman?
Yeah, I'm on. I'm just listening. I'm listening and learning. you know, I was going to ask a question about the preparation of foods. I know some women are very, very good cooks. And some are very, very not so good cooks. And my mother was one that had a tendency to overcook food. And the question I have is that doesn't that destroy some of the nutrition of the foods if they're overcooked?
Mainly if you use a microwave. A microwave neutralizes all of the nutritional benefits that is inside food. And I will say that there are different studies that show that eating burned food can give you cancer in certain forms. But I wouldn't necessarily say that I know of anything besides a microwave that neutralizes all of nutrition in the food. So as long as you don't prepare your food in the microwave, I would say you're pretty good.
Yeah, I think, personally, my experience has been with my family is that preparation of food is almost as important as the types of foods that you eat as well. I prefer to have things grilled versus fried. I prefer to have foods not cooked so much. My wife, I have to tell her, you know, you don't burn the meat because it destroys a lot of the value of it. And she cooks in oil all the time, so that's a good thing, and it's a good virgin oil, you know. And so I'm just wondering about that.
The only time that it really loses the nutrients are like water-soluble vegetables and foods. You're basically boiling out the nutrients. You know, like when you're cooking like spinach and you're boiling them to a goo, then them out, that's when you start losing the nutrients. But like meats and stuff like that,
that's very minute, though.
That's a good question, too, Oakman, because, too, I am a chef. I am a farmer. I'm a food connoisseur. Mary, like you said, people in the country would simmer things for 2-3 hours. And as I grew older, I learned that the heat longness does absorb the minerals because of the heat capacity. It makes some of the nutrition in the stuff. That's why the organic foods that are eaten raw do have a little bit more boost to them. Mary, my grandmama, when we used to fix collard greens, I got some in the refrigerator now, instead of pouring the juice out, she would drink it and eat it with cornbread because most of the nutrition was in what we throw away. As we prepare a lot of the foods that have skins on them, especially potatoes, that grow in the dirt, in the ground, that has extra minerals in the skin. Most people throw the most nutrition away. Last example, and then I'll throw it back over to you, watermelon. Watermelon is a super fruit. It's green on the outside. It has a white core, and most of the time it's red on the inside. We eat the red, but we throw the white and green away. Watermelon is 90% water. Instead of you throwing your watermelon rinds in the trash can, you should have been putting them in the refrigerator and using them as ice cubes to put in your smoothie. So, again, it's a cultural thing. Some people completely creep on the ground. I don't think I've ever cooked a meat in 30, 40 years without the use of my grandmama's cast iron skillet. So if you understand about iron in your blood and you cook off of this special black cast iron skillet, you get more iron in your food. And the people down in New Orleans, where I learned how to cook Cajun style, their favorite is blackened fish. They said, oh, she knows how to burn. That's not just a term. That's a style of cooking, blackened fish. But if you, and then you heard Zach say earlier, there's certain foods people blacken like marshmallows. There's certain foods that are toxin and poison if you do reach the crispy level because the nutrition in the thing turns into something else, and as it goes into your bloodstream, it's not really good for you. So different strokes for different folks. Minerals are things that have color in them. If you can think of a carrot, I love carrots raw, but I hate them overcooked, Oakman, and you can smush them with a fork. I love English peas frozen, but if you smush them up and get them too done, I'm having the flashback that Zach's feeding me baby food and it's ugly and green, and he has to fool me with applesauce. Back to you, Mary.
The misconception with potatoes is the skin has more nutrients than the actual potato. It's actually the opposite. And potatoes have an awesome level of vitamin C in it. We found that out when my son doesn't, he's autistic, and he don't do the vegetables. He don't do fruits, but he'll do potatoes. And so, you know, one of the most common issues with autistic kids with food issues is scurvy. And I was trying to figure out, you know, why he didn't get it, why he's healthy with such a restricted diet. And potatoes have a very high level of vitamin C and nutrients in it, and it doesn't matter if you have the skin on or off. So, like,
Mary,
let
me interrupt you one more time, if I may. Zach's at the gym. Let me tell you, he's babysitting on international radio. Clients are finding in the gym now. So, Zach, I want you to do me one more favor, sir, because we've got to have you back again. We didn't even give you a chance to tell the gym and where you're located and website. We'll make sure and do all that. But, Zach, we're talking about skins on, skins off. Every time I walk into the gym across your clean floor mat, the first thing that I see is your nutrition juice bar. Zach, before we go, tell us a little bit about your juice, what it does, what it has in it, and then we'll let you go do what you do, take care of some kids and train some people and get their life in order of that.
Yeah. One second. I got a great idea. This would be a nice concept because I have my health and wellness coach here as well right now.
Okay.
Give me 1 second.
Okay.
She makes her juice. Gigi, can you be a special guest? I got some people asking about your juices right here. Mr. Dorsey is on his radio
show.
Yeah,
they gave me some last time I went
in.
Oh,
wow.
Peace,
gang. How's everybody feeling? Good. How about
Hello.
You? Hey, it's your neighborhood juice dealer and dope healer, Gigi, and I'm super excited to be sharing with you guys my company.
Come on with it, baby. We got 78 countries listening to you right now. Give us all your good juice.
Oh, perfect. So my company is juiceupbar.com. It is an online juice bar. If you are in the Atlanta area, we deliver. If you're in the rest of the 50 states, we ship. We are a company powered strictly by autism. Why? It's because the love for my son, that's the main ingredient, love, and he has autism, so the world may not be forgiving to him, so I created a platform so people like him can thrive, create their own narrative, and just be amazing on purpose.
Now, do me a favor, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Let me rewind, slow down really, really fast. Today, I call your business partner, my business partner, my family's business partner, Zach, in, to talk on the show as an unsung hero. You know he babysits that child and trains women and gives them nutritious thoughts and all kinds of things. But while we have you on the mic, Mary Stanley, say hello, Mary.
Hi.
Mary has two special kids. One of them, we call her the little princess, who's 8 years of age, who just assisted us in getting our two-old dream unstuck. We just launched an international kindness campaign. So I want to flip the switch over to Mary. You don't go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just stay in a quiet place. I want Mary to tell you about what we do, what we're doing with her autistic, very special kids. I came in on the short bus, too. And then we're going to switch the mic back over to you because we just had another divine connection that you said. You're setting up a platform here at the Hope Foundation. We have no hidden agendas. We have no hidden motives on what we do. We have every intention on blessing you, 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 and you. And now you're going to put children. We're going to use children to confound the wise, and she says it wasn't working in the regular corporate America. I had to set up a special platform so that my child would have a better opportunity. So, Mary, I'm going to flip the switch over to you. And, ma'am, tell us your name, and then we're going to flip it back over to you. Ma'am, and your name, please, ma'am.
So, Mary or me?
Yes, you.
Oh, Georgette Reynolds.
What is your name?
Georgette.
Georgette. Okay, Mary, you take the mic, and then you and Georgette tangle for a minute with this juice autistic children thing and show them how we're getting ready to revolutionize America and give the whole America a different mindset of how they look at our children.
Yes. So with the help of my daughter and Len Kane, we have created a program called the Kindness Campaign. And the dream is, and what we're doing is working with not only special needs kids, but all kids to talk about themselves and their mindset and how the act of kindness is not just random acts. It's kindness to yourself and that you're not alone.
Thank you.
So,
I appreciate it.
not a problem, and I'd love to connect with you after the show or when you have time to talk about other things that are going on and how we can help each other out.
Most definitely. And see, I spent the last 40 years of my life working with AtlantaChildren.org. Just real quickly, 99% of the kids that come through our program until Corona shut us down have been labeled misplaced, displaced. There were foster kids time they 3 to 4 years of age, by the time they reached 12 to 14. Most of the kids that we get been the 6 to 8 different foster homes. Now they're 12 through 20 years of age, no high school diploma, no GED, and 38 counties don't want them. They send them to us. So we're raising up youth. I train the youngest travel agent in the world at 7. I have a new entrepreneur that's in the business with us. She's 3 years of age. And what you moms have always been holding up half the sky and raising our children. But we just want to applaud both of you guys. Happy Mother's Day. We had President's Day on Monday. Mary had to tell me I didn't even know what President's Day was. We're celebrating them anyway. But happy Mother's Day to both of you women. I'm going to shut up again and just high five both of y'all because I'm getting kind of teary now that I don't believe in luck. I believe in good faith. And they said in order for anybody to be blessed must be at the right place at the right time with the right people. Thank you, Zach, already again for passing the mic. Georgette, Mike, back over to you, sweetie. Tell us a little bit more about what you do and what your vision is when it comes to being a blessing, to be a blessing.
Man, to be a blessing to just underserved communities who have children with superpowers, because that's what I call them, because it definitely is their gift. And I want to create a community that helps them find their voice, even for the ones that don't have it, and just help them rewrite the narrative. You can still live your best life. You can still accomplish the things you want to. And if you don't know what you want to accomplish, we have culinary classes that we offer via the Juice, and we partner up with a few food companies to teach them about health and mental wellness through dieting, exercising, and just having a lifestyle about it. So it's my vision to create this tribe of juice dealers and dope healers, because it all started with a juice. The reason why I'm so passionate about the juice is because juice helps aid in your gut bacteria, and your gut bacteria helps with brain function. So if we take care of the gut, we take care of the brain, and now we have clearer thinking. We reverse echolalia. We reverse ADD, ADHD, ADHD, I'm sorry, and some symptoms of autism or just mental issues in general. Everything can be controlled with drugs, and the major drug in this country is food. So by knowing what type of drug, food, to put in your body to make it be at its optimal level so that you can be great out here on purpose, with purpose.
Ma'am, I love you. I love the words that are coming out of your mouth. It's hard to get me to shut up. I'm mesmerized by it's so fulfilling. I've been telling people for a long time that for the last 14 years, it is truly an honor as well as a privilege to be able to serve up hope for lunch. We taste great and we're spiritually fulfilling. But what people don't understand is we have a whole smorgasbord of information. We're in the information stage in knowledge. Knowledge truly is power if you utilize it. So after the call, we're going
to
make sure and hook you up with Mary. Mary's going to invite you back to our show, because on Mondays our show focuses on health is your first, wealth, nutrition, water, and then you're talking about dope energy. We call it energy. You can call it what you want to call it. If you don't eat the right things, you don't have the proper energy to do what you need to do. And to me, that's dope. Back to you, Georgia.
All right, I
got to
interrupt you real quick. The princess wants to say hi.
Absolutely. I heard the little one in the back. Hey, beautiful.
Hi.
Can I tell you something?
You gotta talk a little louder. She can't hear you when you're.
Hi, I'm Mary Nana.
Oh, well, hello. Nice to meet you.
And I'm Mary Nana.
This Princess.
And
did you know that you're smart, powerful, strong, and brave?
Yes.
Oh, good. Do you know that you are a queen and everything you want wants you?
Did you tell her what your favorite food to eat is? And tomatoes?
Tomatoes are my favorite. And I eat them.
Oh, I love tomatoes. Do you like grape tomatoes or just regular tomatoes or green tomatoes?
How about eat a whole batch? I'll buy like 3 pounds to make tacos. If I come home, I maybe get 2 left.
Oh, wow. She eats them like apples. Gage does that. My son's name is Gage.
Her idea of a treat is my produce aisle.
Oh, nice.
Ma'am,
I love
Mary.
How old is she?
She's
you
eight.
Guys. Bring the whole family Monday. The show has been going on for 14 years. Mary took the dinosaur bones away on the way that we was connected because we really
mm-hmm.
wasn't connected. My mentor, Burl Walk, was the founder of the first TV commercials. He was the founder of Blog Talk Radio 40-something years ago before anybody even knew what the Internet was. We was caught in the dark age, and I tell everybody that God sent me some new energy and call her Super Speedy, Stanley, Mary, connected us to all the social media networks, broadcast in the 78 countries in 40-something different languages. The numbers are getting better and better every day, but I kind of halfway cried a tear years ago, and I won't even go back and take you guys back there, but to hear the laughter of women, children, men, you guys are showing up. It's time to stand up and speak out. Again, I said earlier that we have no hidden agendas and hidden motives on what we do. We have every intention on blessing you, and you. Joel Griffin, who was the founder of the Hope Foundation, my mentor, he told me it was okay to call everybody out. We're calling you guys super friends. We've taken the best of the best from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and we're allowing every single person to come in and love their very best. That's why we're doing extraordinary things like on an ordinary day, like on a Wednesday. We're celebrating you, Georgia. We're celebrating your juice. We're celebrating your kids, Zach and my sons. We're celebrating your kids. I'm making jokes with Oakman, and I told him we can't even build no buildings without you, Oakman. I'm celebrating you. This man has about 8 kids and about 20-something grandkids. You know he got deep roots. Shout out, Ron Clayton, our new president. We had President's Day on Monday, but Ron wasn't able to be there. He was getting off a cruise. Shout out. So you guys, we're just excited about what it is that we're doing. We're going to open up the mic again, Mary. I don't know how much time we have left, about 7-8 minutes. But Mary, let me flip the switch back over to you, and you tell everybody what they need to do to make sure and come forth and join what we're doing. Golden Rule Society is one of our sister companies, the partner companies. Lynn Kane, every Friday, the man has the oldest non-for-profit organization next to Goodwill in the southeastern United States. That's Golden Rule Society. Golden Rule, treat other people the way that you want to be treated. Last year, Lynn Kane was nominated, and he won International Humanitarian Man of the Year. He's also Top Gun, not Tom Cruise. He's the best fighter pilot in the world, and he's only been nominated 5 times for a Nobel Peace Prize. He's the originator of the kindness idea, passed the baton over to Mary. Mary passes the baton over to her daughter, and now we have all of you super friends coming from all different parts of the world. We welcome every single person, regardless of where you are and what you do. We know that when he said it was good, he saw it was good, it's exactly that last one. It truly is a blessing to be a blessing. If everybody could bless themselves, we wouldn't need each other. Shakespeare put it in a riddle and gave it to Hamlet. To be, that's the question. But we understand that misery loves company, sure does love loves company. But I have to share with you that love is not love until one gives it away. So if you want to experience some love today, then you start by going out and giving some love away. Practice it, as we tell the kids, keep it in mind. Practice doesn't mean you get perfect. Practice means you only get better and better and better at whatever it is that you do. So do unto others before they do unto you. Because when you give some love, some hope, and some kindness away, eventually it will come right back to you. I know Oakman is boiling over right now. He's got to say something. Oakman, over to you this time, because Mary said we're not out of time. We're on God's time.
First country I gotta say is the Southwest, not the Southeast.
Say it again, babe.
Len Cain and the Golden Rule Society is out of Coronado, California. That's Southwest. You know, like I'm Midwest by Canada. Just think you're pretty.
That's my area. That's my area. Just a little shout out, you know. California, where we at? Well, that's all.
That's awesome. Oh man, what you got for it?
It must be muted.
I'm muted.
Anybody got anything?
I'm stationed out in the California area. That's why I said.
I don't want that comment.
Mary, I want to. Mary, this is Bob. I just want to say thanks again for another wonderful show. You've outdone yourself again with this this program. And, you know, it's enlightening to see how things have changed in the Hope Collection. You know, we were getting kind of stale over the years. And then when we lost Dr. Joel Griffin, things kind of deteriorated. But, you know, with Ron Clayton's leadership and with the new people like you, Mary, and Country Boy, and others that have been brought in, it's really making a difference. It's making a big difference. It's we're all reaching out more, I think, now than we were, and we're all doing a much better job of helping others by helping them to help others. And so I just want to thank you and Country Boy and everybody who participated today. It's been a great show. And thanks again for that. I wasn't talking much today because I really just came on the show to listen to see what was going to come on and what you guys were talking about. And it was tremendous. Thank you again. And God bless you.
Our show was all about country today. He set it up for me.
No, but listen, I'm telling you, everybody has to do their part. The man that y'all just heard, he only worked for a little bitty company that couldn't even afford a whole name. They call himself AT&T for about 30-something years. You just heard the vice president of the Hope Foundation. So when he mentioned Joel Griffin, our original founder, Bob is an old oak tree. He's enduring the storm.
Ron Clayton,
it's a flood and he's still standing.
Ron Clayton calls me the mighty oak, you know, so.
The mighty oak. Man, we just love you too. But Bob, thank you too. Y'all heard me say earlier, Mary came into the Hope Foundation and breathed new life. She brought new life with her. Now we're mixing it
absolutely
up. We got juices. We got new moms. Mary's even spent and did a new evening show to where we got a lot of people that can't be free during the day. They can come on in evening times. Every Monday we have an international spiritual call, regardless on what your denominational faith or creed is. If it's good, and he said it was good, there's one God and there's many roads to him. We understand they might call you a pond. Some might say you're a lake. Some call me the mighty river. They call him the mighty oak. They might call you the ocean. You can call it what you want to. You can call it rain. It's still water. All about
and we have the morning
our Father's
show.
Business. One of the first things that you heard Zach and the young lady that came on, she says, we're doing business a godly kind of style. One nation under God. And I call it one nation under love now. Love needs no interpretation. That's why I invite everybody. We don't care what part of the world you're in, where you're listening in on the internet, or you just logged into your computer. Computer love. Roger Zapman and Zap had computer love 30-something years ago. Is this you I see on my computer screen? Are you my computer love? But today we call them unsung heroes. Before they call me country boy, they call me the spiritual ninja. About a father's business, but you don't have to see what I do. Nobody has to pat you on the back, give you a certificate. One more point. My granddaddy says, country boy, if you are the smartest person on your team, then you need to get yourself some new players. What do you mean by that? Did you not hear me say earlier that it's a blessing to be, and if everybody could bless themselves, all you had to do was wave a wand over yourself and hook yourself up, and if you're not too selfish, sprinkle your family while you're at it. The divine creator gave your blessing to somebody else, and in order for you to find that blessing, you must not maybe be at the right place at the right time with the right people. So we're calling you out. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every young girl coming together to help make for a better world. Are you to be, or are you back, you, Mary?
That is so true. In Overton, I still need to connect with you to set up links for events that are going on. So anyone in your area, when you got stuff going on, send the links. Send the info on our Facebook group, Optimize My Life, so that we can share it with everybody. It'll also send us a message on our website at optimizemylife.info, and we will post it so that people know what's going on in your area. You have different things you can be doing and being part of in your communities.
Thank you, Mary.
Amen. And, hey, Mary, pass my number on over to him so we can talk. And then I'm going to get the young lady that was on just now. I'll get her number from Zach. And, Mary, you guys will get a chance to talk today. Oakman, again, thank you for coming, because he told me to remind you. Oh, I'm talking about the divine creator now. He said to tell him, country boy, I'm getting ready to do a new thing. Yeah, that's what God said. He said, I'm going to do a new thing that eyes have never seen and ears have never heard of. Yo, I'm going to let you in on what we call it. We're starting a revolution of kindness across America. It doesn't cost you anything. Smile in the world. We'll smile back at you.
And a revolution. And a revolution.
And all I did was hold my thumb out the window, thumbs up, and said, toot, toot. And they said, God bless you, sir. I'm going to same thing back at you. Treat other people the way that you would like to be treated. It is an act of kindness. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of.
And don't forget, today is the start of the Easter holiday season. It's Ash Wednesday, and it's all about mistakes and accepting that we're not perfect, that we all make mistakes. And owning your mistakes is part of who you are, and it builds you to be the person that you are. Owning the good,
amen,
the bad, and the ugly, not just the good.
And here's the good part of that. If you read in that little book, it says, and I quote, all things, not some things, all things work together for the good for those who love. Yeah.
That's true. Thank you for joining me. Tomorrow is Family Day with Bob Opie. He talks about family and faith and what things he's got going on and things in the community and how faith has helped him to raise the army of family members he's got.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you. Thank you.
Bob, I got an inside joke for him, Mary. They don't die. They multiply.
That's a dirty South slang word I just threw over the airways, though, man.
That's a good, good movie.
Y'all didn't do what I told you to do. Adam, where are you? Where are you? Didn't I tell you not to? What did you tell me that tree is that you don't want me to bother? Okay, now, you guys, I know you messed up. Why did you do that? That woman that you gave me made me do it. Oh, Lord. Well, you need to get your hush puppies and get on down the road. Go for it. Be fruitful. Oh, man. And multiply.
That's right.
Oh, man, how many grandchildren do you have?
How many grandchildren? Oh, I have about 35 now, for sure. 35.
I love you, man. I love you. See, the old man says, even after I'm dead and gone, I left a legacy to carry it on. Shout out, old man.
Well, yeah, my older brother used to call me. My older brother used to call me Abraham, and it's working out.
Father, didn't I tell y'all we had a lot in common? Our father.
Yeah, amen.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, old man.
Mary,
you better turn this off before we turn this show into something else. I just started giggling now. When I start laughing, I can't hush.
Have a good day. Thank you for joining us.
You too, Mary. God bless your family.
You too.
And thank everybody for joining us. Y'all come back to see us now, you hear?
Amen.
Have a good day. Have a good week. And we'll see you back here tomorrow at noon Eastern. Bye for now.